Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life Laughter Happiness. Today, I have my co-host Barbara with me. Are you there, Barbara?
I sure am. Hi, everybody.
And Barbara, being that this person's a friend of yours, why don't you introduce him?
Okay. Well, I would like to introduce somebody that is very important to me, who basically saved my skin and made me safe. He's a police officer. And ever since that day where he helped me so much, he's become my friend. So how wonderful is that? I thought it would be nice to have Tim back on, Tim Reese, LAPD officer, Tim Reese. How are you, Tim?
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Jonathan. Thank you for having me again. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And, I mean, you were so great last time. That was before the coronavirus. That was before all of these recent riots. Now, a lot has changed, hasn't it? And we want to hear it from you, our friend, our policeman, LAPD, you know, what you're going through. For example, two nights ago when you were talking about the Dodgers game, why don't we start with that?
Well, you know what? The thing is that when the Dodgers won the World Series, I mean, you could celebrate. I mean, you could celebrate. Go and enjoy the World Series, or the game-winning seventh, I mean, the World Series. Go and enjoy it. But then we started having looters. We started having people vandalizing downtown L.A. So it was just different. It was just a different It was just different. I mean, I expected more from LA, that the crowd. I expected more from the Dodger fans, that they would go and just celebrate it, but not loot and not vandalize the downtown LA area.
Yes, you were expecting normal behavior from fans that were happy. I mean, we won. This is weird. And I mean, it is hard to describe, isn't it? When you say it's just different. It's like hard to describe because there's no reason for it. And who are these people who are acting this way? Nobody I know. So, like, were you down there as a police officer working at the Dodgers Stadium during this time, or as a person going to the game?
Yeah, no, I was actually an officer. We actually got called to go into downtown LA about 10 o'clock, 11, when the game ended, and then people started crowding in downtown LA or East LA area. Once we were called in, we're called in to deal with the crowds and all that. And again, it wasn't your Dodger fan base. There's more like opportunists where they're actually going to try to analyze. It was just more opportunity for them to do those things. And it wasn't a celebration anymore. It was more of a riot. That's what it was.
So this is premeditated from people who are, oh, here's my chance. This is the big Dodgers game. Whether they win or not, those people were waiting to do this. Is that what you think?
Yeah. Again, it's an opportunist. I mean, we never had that. Like maybe about 5-6 years ago, we never had this. No one would ever – people would celebrate the Lakers winning. I think the Dodgers haven't won since, 1988. So, I mean, I understand people are very happy that the Dodgers won the World Series, but you go and celebrate. We don't care if you're on the streets. We don't care if you guys the fans were yelling and having a great time in the streets. We just don't want the looting. We don't want the vandalizing. We don't want the crimes occurring. There's no reason for that.
I mean, yeah. You know, it just seems like, you know, they call baseball America's favorite pastime. I mean, it sort of seems like it's supposed to be sort of a family-oriented sport. And people, they got what they wanted, and now they're rooting and throwing bricks in windows.
Yeah, it's terrible. But, you know, the thing is that we're watched. As we won the World Series, the whole nation's watching us. And as officers, we don't want to go in there and use less lethal force on people that are riding and all that. We don't want that. We don't want the public to see that. But when you have looters and when you have people that are committing crimes and vandalizing, we have to stop it. We have to stop it, or it's going to escalate. And that's what
– Well, happening. Of course. But they're not seeing your side of it. They might turn on their phone or camera and they see their side of it. They don't know what you've just gone through or somebody just said to you. And by the way, when you're there, you probably, knowing you, you're so nice, trying to say, hey, what are you doing? Do you ever try to talk to these people or is there just no talking to them?
Yeah, no, it's more like a shouting match. I mean, they shout at us, they throw rocks at us. We had urine thrown at me before in the past. It's just different times. It's just different times, Barbara. Different.
Right. Okay. I wanted to ask you though. Okay, this new wave of the rioting. George Floyd was killed, and that's when I see that this started. Do you think that this is Donald Trump's fault? Because some people are saying, "Oh, he has made division in the country," and you know, of course, you know what they say about him. Do you think that it's his fault? I'm seeing it that it is happening when somebody is killed that was innocent, shouldn't have been killed, right, in a stop.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But
yeah.
How is that the Donald Trump's fault? I mean, how are you guys seeing it in your LAPD?
No, it's definitely not Donald Trump's fault. It's fault. It's definitely not the president's fault. I mean, the way George Floyd was killed, it was an officer's doing. It wasn't the president's doing. I think all the politicians are all pointing to Trump saying, hey, you know what, it's his fault. He's bringing a division into this country. No, it's not. It's an individual. And there's always – one bad apple in a bunch. There's always something. There's always someone that's gonna that we can't stop. I mean, there's bad officers, there's bad doctors, there's bad lawyers, there's bad teachers, but majority of the officers are very good officers. And I've been an officer for 23 years with LAPD, 23 years, and my brothers at the LAPD, they're just fabulous. They're fabulous individuals. And it's not the president's fault. It's definitely not.
Okay. And I'm not asking that because I think so, but a lot of people do think so. And, look at what's going on with all these riots, and this is because of the president. And I think he's getting blamed for this big thing, and I don't think that's fair.
Well, Barbara, it's all political. I think it's all political. The way City of LA is being run, and I know I'm not supposed to say this, but I see a lot of the crime is going up. I see that like homicides are up this year. It's been higher in a decade for homicides. Crime rates up
20%. I heard that.
It's really bad. Homeless population is really bad. I've seen it. And I've been on the force for 23 years, and I've seen a huge change, and it's sad. And I don't want to be political about it. I'm just seeing it from my own eyes, and it's terrible the way LA is being run.
Yes, it is. I forgot to ask you something about the Dodgers game. If I wanted to go to a Dodgers game, and I just was talking to you as a friend, would you warn me? Oh, be careful, don't go, because this is what could happen. Would I be caught in the crossfire of rioting, or is it kind of far away where you can see, oh, I'm not going that way? How is it like that for a regular girl like me and her daughter myself with my little daughter?
I mean, go and have a good time. I mean, we expected the World Series. We expected they won the championship. We expected that they were going to be rioting and protesting. We expected all that. But if it's a regular game, like the Laker games, a Kings game, or even the football game, once coronavirus is lifted and you want to go to the game, yeah, go and celebrate. Go celebrate and root for your team. But do it properly. I mean, we were so frustrated because the fact is that we know that there's a huge fan base here in LA for the Dodgers. But we expected this. And it's sad because we as police officers expected there were going to be rioting, there's going to be looting and vandalism. We expected it, and we were prepared.
Okay.
So,
well, that's good.
Definitely.
And personally, okay, go ahead. Okay. I want to know personally from your heart, your soul, your mind, How are you feeling when people are throwing rocks at you and yelling and shouting horrible names at you? How do you personally feel about that?
You know what? And sad thing about it, I was talking to my family. Yesterday, my mother and my girlfriend, I was talking about that. And it's frustrating. It's really frustrating because we're humans. We're humans just like everybody else. And when you're getting spit on, when you're getting urine thrown at us, when you're getting rocks thrown at us, it's sad because, hey, we're human. We're not robots. But everybody seems to the officers as robots. We're being, you guys are invincible. No, we have feelings too. When we're getting yelled at, when we're getting spit on, it's sad how citizens, you know, like LA citizens are doing that to us. And here we're the same level. We don't see us any better. We're just doing our job. And that's what it is. And that's what's sad.
Okay. But it hurts a little bit. It must hurt your feelings just a little bit. Hey, you know, you do everything. You are very serious person because you were on my call. I know you're very serious. You have your game face on. You're a serious policeman. Yeah. But I also have been to your home with my friends for games and the fights. Yeah. And you have a wonderful, loving mother who probably is, you know, could be worried sick about you and your big, huge family who loves you and you love them. So you are a human, and that's why I wanted to bring you on the show. So whoever's listening can, hey, these are people. You know, don't just throw rocks at, like, oh, it's just a group. Those are individuals with families. I mean, you could get hit by a rocket. I mean, you could die from getting hit by a rock or lose an eye.
Well, you know, and also, too, the last protest, I believe, was during the George Floyd protesting. We had officers that were injured. One of the officers actually lost his sight. I guess they were using, those laser beam, you know, those destructor laser beams, those red laser beams that use. Well, they actually used it on the officer, and they burned his eye. It was his right eye. So now they provide us with eye protection and all that. But it's sad because the officer is just doing his job. We're out there just trying to protect the businesses, trying to protect the citizens, and people don't understand that. When you're throwing a rock or a brick, we had bricks thrown at an officer, and he had, like, what, 20 stitches in his head? When that's going on, I mean, it kind of gets upset because we're just humans, and they don't see it that way. They see it as we're like a military robot force. It's not like that. We're just humans. We're just doing our jobs. We have families to go to. We have our lives, and we're just humans. We're doing our job, and that's that.
Well, I personally stand by the police force, and they've always been good to me through anything you know I needed. So I mean, I think about you and everybody else, but how is the morale in the department? Is that staying high with all of the other police officers? And also, how do you feel about that officer that you called the bad apple? You know, I know that there are a lot of bad apples in everything, like you said, but how do you feel? Are you just so mad at this person for doing that? Because look what it's really caused.
I'm totally upset because the reason why is, okay, during that time of George Floyd, I was picking up my daughter. She had just graduated from San Francisco State. And I was coming back on a Saturday. Sunday night, they called me in and said, hey, you report to work. You're going to come because of the protesting for George Floyd. I already had read up on it. I had saw news media on it. And, the officer did wrong. The way he did it, the way he approached it was he could have did better. You could get something different. We all agree on that. But what happened is LA, even though LA wasn't involved, we got hit the hardest. We got hit one of the hardest. They took $150 million from our budget with LAPD. So that means that more less off the street. That means that we have less available things for the citizens. It's ridiculous that we took a hard hit. And it has nothing to do with LAPD, but LAPD was hit the worst, one of the worst. I mean,
and
New York
they
PD
just assume.
Yeah, exactly.
It's well, actually
all,
funny.
It's all your fault. Oh, gosh. Go ahead,
but,
Johnny.
You know, it's funny. Like, we talk about putting down policemen. Sometimes policemen are so by the book that they don't look like they are by the book. I'll give you an example. I was sitting in front of my classroom, and, you know, I wanted to be there, like, to sit maybe an hour earlier so I didn't miss class, you know. And the policeman called up, and he goes, so what are you doing here? And I was like, well, I'm just here to see my, you know, go to class. I'm here an hour earlier because, you know, I don't want to miss class. And he goes, and that's all you're doing? Yes. And you're not doing anything else? Yes, I'm not doing anything else. So he takes out his notepad and he starts writing something down. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I didn't do anything wrong. Why are you writing down on a notepad? You know, you just told me I didn't do anything wrong. But and I talked to my friend who was a policeman, and he goes, look, it's nothing personal. They have to take into account everything they see. You know, it's like whether, you understand what I'm saying, even if nothing is there, they have to do that because otherwise there's
well,
times
what
like
do you mean?
Wonder
what did they see, Johnny? I mean, they have to take into account what they see, but nothing was there. I'm like, okay, so what were you doing that looked odd?
Well, I don't think it was that.
I think what Jonathan's trying to say is that, okay, Jonathan, this is who's doing his job. What an officer is trying to do is prevent a crime from happening. So what we do is we're trying to prevent. We just don't go to radio call. We try to prevent something from happening. So if Jonathan's there, maybe he had tin out windows, maybe he had no license plates, so that gives him probable cause to stop him.
Oh no, I wasn't driving. I was walking. I was sitting there.
Oh,
I was walking.
I want to hear what Johnny was doing.
I don't know what
Johnny, what were you doing? I mean, you must have looked a little bit suspicious.
Well, I was basically just sitting on a bench, and I decided to wait before my class so that it would miss class. And I think what it is that from the civilian standpoint, it could seem kind of strange that they asked me for what I was doing, and then they went and they wrote it down. But from the cop standpoint, it makes sense because they want to document everything they see, you know. They don't want the idea that a policeman could be off doing something and then we don't know what the policeman is doing. Am I right, Tim?
Oh, you're absolutely right. It depends on what city were you in. What city or state were you in? Maybe it was a different
country. I was in Carrollton, Georgia.
Okay. Yeah. No, you're right, you know, John. I mean, the thing is that what they did is they're trying to prevent crime from happening. So, like, LA. LA is very busy. We're very busy. We're going call to call. Now, it's hard for us to prevent crime because we don't want to get we don't want to have an allegation on us. So officers are kind of standing down now. We're kind of like, okay, we'll just handle our calls, but we're not going to try to stop people or try to be very forceful and try to prevent crimes. It's kind of hard for an officer now to do that because of everything that's going on, because the cameras are on us or we're being recorded for no reason. Officers are kind of standing back, and which is sad because it's going to prevent crime from going up. Crime's going to start going up because of that. And that's what that's what's sad and what I've been seeing.
It did. Yes. Me personally.
Yes.
Okay, when the coronavirus happened, not only are you dealing with the new wave of riots, but the coronavirus on top of that. And unless I'm down in Huntington Beach and I called the police because I came out and all four tires were slashed. Okay, well, wow, everybody knows that the police are not really, they weren't very active right at that time. They're like, if it's not in action crime, like right happening now, and you call 911, we will come. But if you just want to report something and the people are already gone, you have to do it all online. So I see how it's changing. Normally the police are right there for you. And you know what? That the coronavirus and the riots, it's causing what you just said. So they're not readily available as much as they used to be for people like me.
You know, yeah, you're right. But it's sad because the fact is that we're seeing a high spike in crime, and it's sad because we won't, because the fact is that we are dealing with, like in LA. LA has a huge homeless issue. So we're dealing with all the homeless, but we can't protect the neighborhoods. And then once we got defunded, that even brought less officers in the streets, which is causing.
So it really did happen. I did not know you actually really did get defunded.
Oh no, Barbara. I mean, we lost overtime. We have less officers in the street. It's sad. It's so sad that they don't understand that when you defund the police, you're taking away from the community. You're not giving back to the community. You're definitely not giving back to the community. You're taking away from the community. They took we got hit with $150 million from our budget, which is really screwed the department and screwed the officers.
I thought you were saying that amount, it took that amount more to fight the riots. I didn't know they took that away out of your pocket.
No, after the George Floyd protest, the Black Lives Matter want to defund all the police departments. So politicians here in LA, they decide to, hey, we're going to go and we're going to defund the police because this is what BLM, it's all political. They defunded us $150 million. I think actually New York is even higher. That's why New York is – the crime in New York is out the freaking ceiling. It's crazy. And then LA, we have more homicides now in present time than in a decade. It's out of control right now. And I don't blame the officers. We're doing as much as we can. We have families to feed. We got to go home to our families safely. But the time is different, and the officers see it, and it's sad.
Wow.
It's a sad time.
Okay, what about the election coming up? Would it be better if Donald Trump was in or Joe Biden as far as the police department with funding?
Well, you know, the thing is that I can't pick a side. I really can't pick a side because I don't want to get in trouble. But I know Trump is more pro-police, and I respect that. And Biden, they want less police activity. I know Democrats are more or less police activity. Biden's more pro-police. I mean, Trump is more pro-police and all that. For 23 years on, I have on the job, I've seen a huge difference. I've seen a huge difference in the city of LA. And Barbara, I don't know what was the last time you've been to LA? Have you been to LA recently? Barbara?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had it on mute. Yeah, like a week ago. I drive up about once a month.
Okay. Have you seen a difference since you were there?
The difference in yes, I guess there's not so much police presence there. It's hard for me to notice just going up and doing a couple errands and coming back. But I noticed that Huntington Beach seems like swarming with police. But it was different right when coronavirus happens. But now I'm seeing police pulling people over again all the time down here. So I don't know what kind of differences would I see. Like, are you asking if I'm seeing less police presence in LA?
Well, you've seen the homeless population grow in LA.
Yes, but not living there, I can't tell because I'm not living there and only, yeah. So, but wow, I know it is very, very bad. And so you're dealing with that so much. And so the other people who are citizens who have a home and all that are getting less protected because you're focused so much on the homeless. And is this because of you're trying to help them with coronavirus or getting them out of the area or what?
No, see, what's going on is the fact is that it's like same like with you, Barbara. You haven't been to LA, so you haven't really experienced the high rate. I see it from an office point of view. Like my mother's always taught me. I mean, the police world is my world, so I see things that you don't see. I see things that Jonathan don't see. I see the crime rate going up. I see it. you and Jonathan probably don't, because you guys live in your own little world where you guys are you don't see what I see. So when I tell people that, hey, the crime rate is going up, people don't believe me. They think, oh, it's normal, because they're which is, I understand they have their own life. But if people actually live in L.A., and you actually live in the city of L.A., you will see the homeless issues going up, the crime rates going up. You would see a lot of businesses are going down because of these things. And it's all politically run. That's it.
Just politically. It is. It's so sad. It really is. And that's another reason I wanted to have you on, to expose this fact. Look, people, it is just political. It is so very political. In my hometown of Seattle, Washington, I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. They overtook the police station. The police department actually left the downtown police department, and people were in there living. Thank you very much for not leaving your stand, and thank you for staying and keeping our police department open. I just want to say thank you.
Well, I mean, it's not like that in Philadelphia. Philadelphia right now is going through a huge protesting and riots. Philadelphia is having officers are getting injured. It's a bad they're in Philadelphia right now.
And it doesn't stop. It's day after day, right? It's day after day.
Well, my understanding is Philadelphia yesterday they had looters shooting other looters. So you have people breaking into businesses, stealing, and then other looters shooting at them. You have officers being injured. If it's not in your area, this is sad, Barbara, because if it's not affecting you, people don't care if it's not affecting your life. But when you have it, when something's affecting your life, livelihood, people start caring. And that's what's sad. That's what I see now. I'm starting to see this. And this is after 23 years of being an LAPD officer. I'm starting to see it. You have people like you. You moved to Huntington Beach, which is a better area than L.A. So L.A.'s experienced a lot of freaking crime. But you're not going to experience it because you're in Huntington Beach. It has to.
And that's why I moved here.
Exactly. Okay, well, yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so, wow, this is really something that you really are noticing. And it's sad because here you work day in and day out trying to make this world a better place and safer for everybody. And no matter what you're doing, it's just going down, down, down. That's very interesting, your point of view. But I did move out of L.A. because I was so tired of the rat race and people speeding through Beverly Hills streets and being crazy and acting ridiculous, and it was not the same place 25 years ago. It definitely was not.
Yes. No. Definitely.
Okay. Wow. So are a lot of the policemen leaving the force now? And if they are, a lot of them are, why? Is it because of the danger they're foreseeing, or is it because their pay has been docked and they don't make as much?
No, yeah, a lot of the older officers, I mean, you're talking about officers that have been there for 30 years. Yeah, there are a lot of them retiring because remember, we have cameras now. We had been having cameras for like 5 years already. And it's just a different times. I mean, again, a lot of officers are there to help protect the city, their city that they're working in. They want to protect like us. We want to protect the city of L.A. Officers have – their intentions are wonderful. They have very good intentions. We have cameras now, and the cameras kind of prevent the officers from doing their job because it's not like – it's not the actual what they're doing. It's not the actual actions that they're doing. It's the repercussions because the department reviews the cameras, and we don't give a business card if we don't say hi a certain way. They look at the cameras and they get us for little things, and that's what's kind
little
of sad.
Little things like
because,
that. Wow.
Oh yeah, come on. Yes, Barbara. It's been ongoing. Oh. I mean, the cameras just kind of like it brings it out. If I don't give a business card at a certain time, and I'm supposed to give a business card, they'll get you for that. It's just different times to be a police officer, and I respect that the the career. I respect the profession, but it's just difficult times, very difficult times.
And you were saying that last time, too, when you were on the show, that now that you have cameras, if you want to give somebody a break, you can't, because the cameras, you can't even be, like, work with the person and be nice and say, okay, you know, be careful next time, you know, don't go a few miles over the speed limit, and you kind of rolled through that stop sign. You cannot let them go now. You have to go totally by the book because of the camera on you. Is that true?
Yes. No, it's true. I mean, it just prevents us. Like, if we have someone that is on some type of narcotic, is on drugs, and he's running around the street, and he's naked. I mean, we can't. It's kind of hard for us to take force on him because
to
we
give
don't
him
want
a business card.
We give him a business card naked. We're going to put it in his pocket, but it's kind of hard because he's running around naked. He's kind of around naked,
yeah.
And it's kind of hard for him to. It's kind of hard for us to do our job because the media will take it, they will edit it, and then we'll send it out there and to the public, and the public will see us in the different. I mean, when you have a guy on meth or crack cocaine running up and down the street naked, it's kind of hard to verbalize with him because he's not going to listen. So I don't think the public understands what we go through, and that's what causes the negative in the media towards us.
Yeah. And they do edit it. They edit it and make it look really bad for you guys. Wow. Okay. Well, you're sure up against a lot of difficulties. And it just surprises me, though, that they're just making you do all these extra steps because of the camera, with the business card, the way you say hi, all that. Because each person is so individually different. And they don't know what's going through your veins. Your heart could be racing. You could feel something is off. You have intuition. You have natural intuition. And it seems like they're stifling you with this camera constantly on you. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's different times. And then with the elections coming up, we do expect protesting to occur all next week. I mean, I don't
That's
know.
What I was going to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you, what are you anticipating? Because I'm thinking, no matter what side wins, there's going to be riots. I'm just anticipating this, and I'm sure you are so much. So what goes into that? You have to have the men in the fatigues and the shields ready, and, I mean, your helmets. You should be wearing helmets all the time if they're throwing bricks at you. Why aren't you guys always wearing helmets during this time?
No, we all have helmets. We do have helmets and all that, but a brick being thrown at our leg is not going to stop it. I mean, we're going to get injured. Urine, I don't think anybody wants urine thrown at it. Those cocktails, those fire cocktails they throw at us. I mean, or fireworks. I mean, it's different times. But the protesting, yeah, we expect they're going to be protesting riots right after on Tuesday. We might not start. I predict we're not going to see it on probably Wednesday night, because on Tuesday we're not going to get the election results on Tuesday night. We'll probably find it on Wednesday. So we're prepared. We're prepared. We have our riot gear ready.
Okay.
Downtown is going to be where it's going to happen. My understanding is that a lot of the hotels in downtown LA are already getting booked. So whether we have Antifa, whether we have BLM there, Black Lives Matter, they're going to be there. They're going to protest. So if Trump wins, it's going to be major protesting, major rioting. If Trump loses, there will be protesting.
And so are they – hold on. Are they saying if Trump wins, we've got to take this action, and if Biden wins, it's not going to be so bad? I mean, are they actually saying this? Like, okay, it's going to be worse if Trump wins?
No, what we're doing is we're just preparing all the way through. We're preparing that there's going to be riots. So LAPD is definitely going to be prepared. We're definitely going to be prepared on this one. Because I think they're going to be riots with Biden wins or Trump wins. People are going to say, oh, they're going to be happy that Trump lost. They're going to be rioting. It's all opportunist. opportunity is going to go
right.
In there.
Right. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So we're ready. Like yesterday, like during the Dodgers, when we had our patrol cars graffitied and all that, which is ridiculous. I mean, again,
yeah.
I mean, who's paying for all that? The taxpayers are paying. And
yeah.
People, the kids today don't realize that, hey, your family's paying for that. We're not paying for it. It's not coming out of my pocket. But this is the city of L.A. The taxpayers are paying the cars. So they're going to bump taxes. They're going to bump taxes. People don't realize it. And that's what's sad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, you could be going for Trump. You could be going for Biden. Celebrate it. Celebrate it, but do it nicely. I mean, you could celebrate for the Dodgers, celebrate for the Lakers, but do it cordially. Do it the way we used to do it. And then nowadays, it's not like that.
Causes so many people to raise more different kinds of groups. Like, there's a new group that actually is attacking the rioters, but that's not good either because now there's more fighting. So is that what you were saying about the people, the rioters shooting the rioters? Is something like just maybe this new group?
Yeah, I know. Philadelphia, I think yesterday I was reading the news that Philadelphia is going through that right now. Philadelphia officers are experiencing that where you have looters that are going in and they're fighting with other looters and then they're starting to shoot each other. I mean, Philadelphia's right now is pretty bad right now. And the officers are getting injured. I think the officers are injured, like 11 officers were injured in the night. It's getting really bad. And it's just the way it is. It's just it's like a domino effect. You have Philadelphia, next you're going to have New York, and then you're going to have LA. It's going to be a domino effect. And if we don't get this in under control, it's going to go into something that we never experienced before. And this is my prediction.
Oh, wow. And you're right in it. So your prediction is meaningful, definitely. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to ask about the rubber bullets, though, because, okay, people think, oh, I'll just go riot. I might get hit by a rubber bullet. Be careful, because those rubber bullets, those are intense, aren't they? I mean, what happens if you get hit by a rubber bullet, say, in the forehead?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's going to cause damage. I mean, you're going to have injury. But the thing is that we're taught, when we're shooting it, we shoot – there's the rubber bullets we could shoot at people, but then we have another thing that's a less lethal, but it's that little bead. When we shoot in the ground, it bounces off the ground, the concrete, and then it hits you, which has less force. So it's kind of like, but again, if people are throwing things at us and we got to shoot that, we're going to shoot. It's less lethal. We have to, because the fact is we're going to get attacked and we're going to get injured. And I want to go home to my family. I have a daughter, I have a girlfriend. I want to go home. And we have to use that. And I'd rather use that than lethal force.
Yes, a real bullet. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you just mm-hmm. shoot it at the ground, but they do ricochet around. And it seems like these people, they thought it'd be on something. And when you were talking about the naked guy, you know, it's funny for a second. But you know what? These people who are on that drug, that certain drug that makes them strip their clothes off and run around like crazies, they get this superhuman strength, don't they? And, I mean, they're like animals, right?
Yeah, no, and again, I mean, they're on either like PCP, we call it PCP, or back then it was called like angel dust. I mean, these people on these type of drugs, they're very strong too. So it takes maybe like 10 officers, 5, 6, 10 officers to actually hold them down. They have super strength. And people in the public don't understand that. Officers, we go into a call not wanting to hurt somebody. I'm scared. When I go, I mean, after 23 years, I'm still scared. If I go see somebody running around, yelling, naked, I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm going to get in a fight. I don't want to get in a fight. I don't want to mess with my uniform. I don't want to injure myself. So I don't care what any officer says. We still go in scared. We do. We don't want the worst. So it's tough, but the public does not see that. The public thinks that we are robotic, we're robots, that we're invincible. We're not. We're still human.
And also, not only that, the danger of the violence, but what about the coronavirus now? And how are you feeling about that? Wow, you're putting yourself in danger even doubly now.
Yeah, no. The coronavirus is different. I mean, we with officers, I don't think we have a lot of concern because we're exposed to other things than coronavirus. I mean, there's suspects and homeless that have staff infections. They have all these other viruses and diseases that we could get exposed to it. So when the coronavirus came in, I mean, as an officer, I've always tried to clean. I always try to wash my hands. I always try to wipe the cars down, use gloves. I mean, it's just things that we have always done. So I think the coronavirus, we're not really scared or frightened about the coronavirus. We're more because our experience are more with the homeless or we've been exposed to more other viruses or other diseases that we're not really afraid of the coronavirus.
It's good though with the mask wearing, because I feel like since I've been wearing a mask and being careful with social distancing, I haven't even gotten a little sore throat or a scratchy throat at all. And this is kind of how it should be. I mean, we look at us. We are full of germs, people. I mean, it's actually good. And it's a protector. People like me, we like it. Now people aren't approaching me at the grocery store and hitting on me because I've got that distance. And for me, it's been really good. And I would think maybe for you, it might be a little extra barrier too. Is it like that, or you don't really think like that?
No. But again, it's something that you should have already been doing. I mean, you always wash your hands. I mean, you always do that. You wash your hands and you make sure you. I mean, there's things that you already should have been doing. I mean, that's as officers, we do. I mean, we try to wipe our cars down. We try to touch things that other suspects. We always use gloves when we're searching people. I mean, there's a things that we should have already been doing, but the public doesn't see it that way. They see it as, oh, everything's going to be okay. But we're in the front lines. So when you're in the front lines, it's kind of you're kind of more kind of scared. You don't want to get affected, or you don't want to bring it home to your family. So these things that you should have been doing back before that.
After all of this, fighting the crime, and then on top of that, dying of coronavirus, that would be really an empty feeling for a family, you know? I mean, oh, wow. You really have a lot going through your mind when you work. So how do you personally deal with all of the stress?
Well, you know what? It's crazy is that I had my family, my son, my daughter. I mean, they've been there for me. My girlfriend's there for me. My mother's there for me. I mean, my true friends have been there for me. They know that, hey, this guy has a tough job. We're going to be there for him. It takes a strong bond with your family to be there for an officer. Because our job
and that gives you support. The support you need to give you the strength.
Yes.
The extra strength in the mind to get out there and do it. Wow, that's so good. But not a lot of people are having families like you. So I know that you train a lot of officers, the new guys, and you're such the greatest person for that. So we just commend you for everything you're doing. And just
keep fighting.
And thank you. Yes.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
You
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I want to talk about the Black Lives Matter movement. I thought, okay, you know, it's about time. I liked it. I thought, okay, let them have their thing. Let them, you know, get their rights and, you know, fight for their rights. But it's to me, so sad that it has turned into such a violent thing. But do you think that the concept of the Black Lives Matter movement, do you think that's good, or do you wish that that never did even happen?
Well, you know what, the thing is that with that is that I understand, you know, like, you know, the Black Lives Matter, they're very frustrated, but there's a way of doing it. You don't go in the streets and say, hey, I'm going to kill officers or kill police officers or fry them like bacon or whatever they say. You don't, you do it protesting, but you protest when you let your voice be heard. But when you voice violence, your message your message is not there. And that's what I think Black Lives Matter is pointing. I think that, yeah, you could talk to us. I mean, you could have someone on the show, Barbara and Jonathan, and you got a Black Lives Matter activist, and have me on the show and interview both of us.
Okay. Okay.
I will talk to them, and they could ask me questions. I ask them back. That's what we need, more dialogue. But when you have Black Lives Matter move into looting, vandalizing, hate speech, it stops everything. It makes the vision even louder and stronger. It divides everybody. It divides the country. I think you got to have dialogue. You bring a Black Lives Matter activist, or you bring a group, and you bring officers, and when we have discussion, that's different. It's different because Black Lives Matter, they don't know what officers go through. There's a good black officers out there. They're good guys, and they've been through the same thing.
They're black too.
But they see it different. Everybody sees it different. I was born and raised in East LA, and I see it different. I was arrested when I was young, but I see it different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness! Yeah. Hey, you were arrested, and how did that go down? Did that like change your life? Tell us about that. How old were you?
Yeah, but it was like when I was 13 years old, and the LAPD knows it. It was a dumb thing, but I experienced both sides. I was raised that way, so I experienced both things, both ways of living, and it's different. It's just different. But again, I was growing up, I was Democrat, and our views and all that. I mean, a lot of police officers are more Republicans now because we're very conservative. Officers are very conservative. We try to do the right thing. And again, officers are just try to do the right thing. We try to protect. We have a lot of officers. The majority of the officers have good hearts. They're to go and cause problems or go after a certain race. We don't do that. It's not the way it is. I'm Latino, and I don't go after other Latinos or other blacks. Do that. We're there to protect and serve, and that's all it is. And this is the majority.
Because you have black in your a lot of black people in your police department, so I was just wondering what they're thinking about. Because when I heard about the Black Lives Matter, I just thought they were trying to get very further with their equal rights than they've been experiencing. I didn't know that Black Lives Matter was strictly against the police force. Is this really what Black Lives Matter is?
I think it was when it was first out. When was Black Lives? Black Lives Matter was what, 2-3 years ago, I think it was, and it was more like, I don't know. It's kind of strange the way this whole thing just developed. Again, I mean, I understand why people protest and why Black Lives Matter want to bring out their want to say what they feel, but there's a certain way they got to do it. And there's a certain way that they got to go out there and express it to the community, express it to the nation. And the way sometimes they go, they move from what they want to express. And it's sad. It's just really sad. I mean, that's Black Lives Matter.
And the way that it's going, we can hope that they're going to change and start understanding. But the way it's going, I'm not seeing that. So we really wish you – I pray for you and all of your police force. And that's all we can do. That's all we can do right now. And it is frustrating. But I want to talk about – you've mentioned your girlfriend a couple of times. And I think last show, you said that she's the dispatcher, right? I mean, that is a major job. Is she around you right now? Can we talk to her?
No. I have a different girlfriend that's been around for a while. She's been around. She's been very, I know.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I have a very good woman. Yeah, I know. She's a very good woman. She's been there.
Okay.
She understands, and just she's been very, very, very good to me and my family. She's been very good to me, and she understands what I go through, and she tries to be there for me, and she's very good to me and my family.
Okay, good. Because this was about a year ago that you were on the show, so you know, hey, yeah, I think so.
But again, Barbara, it's the family and the close friends that are there for you. I mean, again, a police officer's job is very stressful, and it takes a strong girlfriend, family, kids to understand that. And I was with my kids yesterday, and we got a heated discussion, and we have different point of views, but yet they understand.
Yeah.
They understand. I love them the most. My kids are the best.
And how they're college age, correct?
Yeah, my son's 28. He's in the military, and he's trying to get on to the sheriff's. And my daughter's just graduated from San Francisco State. Very proud of them both. I'm just so proud of them. And it's just one of the amazing feelings you have, you know. And I know you have your daughter, Priscilla, and it's just amazing feeling that you see, watch them grow, and you watch them. You know they have different views than what you have. You still love them. You still love them.
Oh, yes. And that's what I wanted to talk about, because, and that's why I asked the age, is because I have a teenager, and these millennials, you'll be watching the news. If you're watching the wrong channel, they'll come in and call you a racist.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah,
and, you know,
exactly.
I mean, okay, if that makes me a racist, then I guess I am. I mean, you throw your hands up in the air, but you have the kids that are young adults, and so they're thinking differently. But I am dealing with this, Tim, and this is going on a lot because I talk to my girlfriends, and their kids do too. They call the parents racist because we're, you know, doing something simply, but not their way that they would do it. And so I deal with that. But I nip it in the butt. You know, I try to explain calmly everything. But if these kids were adults right now,
okay,
I don't know what would be happening with their way of thinking.
Can I tell you something, Barbara?
Yes, go ahead.
And again, it's different times. I mean, you have to go, like, do you think I would be looting, vandalizing stores when I was growing up? No, my mom would bring out chanka. They would bring out the freaking whip. They would whip me. They would hit me, and which is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't disrespect cops. We would listen to cops. It's a different type. I want the families to go out there and try to control their kids. That's all it is. Those kids, or I'm going to say kids, I'm going to say children, that were looting the stores, vandalizing the stores. They're children. Their parents should have been there. I mean, they have to. I mean, it starts from their family, the police to be the parents of the world. They're not, of the nation.
Right.
They're not. It starts from your family. And if you have a good upbringing where you have your family, your mom, your dad, that love you, and you're not going to be doing that because it doesn't make any sense. And that's what the difference is. A lot of the kids today, they don't see that. They don't see the respect. But I don't blame the kids. I blame the families. What's that?
No. And, yes, my daughter, we had a couple kids with her. We were walking, going to Home Depot and out. And I looked back. I caught one of the little 13-year-old boys flipping off the policeman who was sitting in his car there in the parking lot. And I said, hey, wait a minute. That person is trying to protect you. And we had a long discussion about it. And I stayed very calm, of course. And I did get somewhere in that conversation. But I don't know what they're teaching them at the school or their parents. But that's our future. Those kids who are teenagers right now, that's our future. So everybody who's listening, please have talk. Sit down with your kids. Explain. You know, that's a human being who's trying to protect us and do his job, and you just disrespected him like that. That's not okay. That is definitely not okay. And then with that same conversation, I actually was able to use your name and say, I have a dear friend, Tim Reese, okay? He's a person. I've been to his home. He has a wonderful family. And so would you go over to his home and flip him off if he, you know? So why in the police car is that different? why do you not see him as a human being just because he's sitting there in his uniform and his police car? I really made headway. And after that conversation, they saw it. They saw it differently. Really was proud of myself. But that's just one conversation with one child or a few children. And what about the children who don't have those conversations with an adult? Is that scaring you that these are our future, these kids?
Yeah, it scares me the most because it affects the whole crime rate wave. The way the kids are going, I mean, if you're not bringing up your kids right, if you're not getting involved in their lives, it's starting a domino effect, and you're going to have kids that don't respect the police, don't respect parents or authority, but you have to, because you have to have that in life. And what I see right now, the way we're going in the wrong direction. It's a wrong direction. I've been on for 23 years on this job, and I've seen it from the start.
Wow.
Again, I was raised a different way. I was raised properly. I have a lot of family around me that they support me 100%. But I see it. And Barbara, if us as a nation or us as citizens don't crack down, you're going to see the crime. You're going to see the crime rise, and it's going to be a different America, or a different California. California's already rising. It's going to be different. We need to get on our kids, and that's what it is.
Okay, because you've said that all the way through the show, that it is our kids. It's the parents. It's the parents. You cannot parent the other people's children. So I'm going to stress it again. Parents, sit down and talk to your kids. They have a mind. They're very highly intelligent. You think it's a lost cause? It's not. It's not, because I've talked to Priscilla, and now she's more neutral. But I saw her going that way a little bit. You got to nip it in the butt. You've got to know what's going on with your children, please, because we don't want our world to go down and down, down into the toilet at all. Okay, I have a question about this $140 million that you said was taken away. Isn't that your pension? Isn't that something that you were like, hey, calculating in your head and thinking, wow, my life is now different and not what I thought it was going to be when I was retired? Is that what's happening in your mind?
No, you know, it doesn't affect my pension, but it affects my overtime. If I'm working 6 hours overtime, I'm getting time instead of cash. It's going to affect my lifestyle. It's going to affect officers that want to move around, promote. It's going to affect communities. We're not going to have as many officers that we have. They're going to start taking officers out of field to fill in other positions. It's going to affect the community. It's going to affect the community of LA. LA and New York got to hit the most. $150 million from LA. And I think, my understanding, I think it was over $300 million or $400 million in New York because they have more officers. So you don't think that's going to hurt communities that need it the most? No, you fund the police. You want to fund the police because the fact is that you want to build the police. I mean, I understand you have more dialogue with the community, with the officers. You have more dialogue. But the way the politicians are run here, they're robots. And what they do that whatever to get a political vote. And you, what you're doing, you're taking away from the community. And that's what we see as often. We see that as often.
Yeah. Because they have to take one stance or the other stance, so there's not a lot of gray area. That's too bad. So, okay.
Yeah.
To end the show, I have a few questions that could be very helpful to people if they are ever pulled over. So, okay, say you're getting pulled over by a police officer. What do we do? What would you like to see the person do? Do we put our hands on the wheel? Does it matter if we're white or black? Do we do it differently? Tell us what you would like us to do if we get pulled over.
It's nice is that if you put your hands on the steering wheel, be very polite. very polite. We like politeness. If you say,
hey, oh,
good afternoon, good evening, officer, what did I mean, how are you doing, sir? I'm so sorry. Be apologetic. Because the fact is that an officer, a tenure officer, will look at it as like, you know, he's very polite. He's not trying to say he was wrong or I was wrong. He's just being polite. If you did a traffic violation, and say, sir, I'm so sorry, I went above the speed limit, or I'm so sorry, sir, that I passed that stop sign without stopping. I mean, be apologetic, because we are humans. We understand. There's times that I give the people a choice. I'll say, hey, you have tinted windows. What would you want me to cite? You want to cite you for the tinted windows, or would you want me to cite you for the red light? Well, they go for the tinted windows, of course, because they were nice to me. They're very apologetic. They admitted what they did was wrong. Don't argue. That's the worst thing you do is argue with an officer. We don't like that. You don't do that because you're going to lose, because they'll cite you for more. But if you're an apologist, say, hey, officer, I'm so sorry. Because I know a lot of people, they get scared when they get pulled over. And you know why you get scared? Mm-hmm. Because you get pulled over? Because it goes out into your pocket. That ticket's going to be $350. You know that ticket's going to be $400. It's expensive. People are still scared. They're scared of us. But be polite. That's the most important thing. And a lot of people don't agree with that. They start building.
Okay, do you have the ability to, what you were just saying, they could choose. You give them a choice. So you still, even with your camera on you, your LAPD camera, you can still say, you can still give them a break?
Yes. It's called what we call in the police force, spirit of the law. Spirit of the law is that, hey, if it's a misdemeanor or below, we have a choice whether we're going to ticket them. It's called spirit of the law. And I do that all the time for 23 years. If the person was jaywalking, if I jaywalk the same street, I'm not going to give them a ticket. If they're polite, if they say, sir, I'm sorry, sir, I'm going to go to the grocery store, hey, don't worry about it. I'll give them a warning. Officers, we love when someone is polite and courteous to us, because that's going to be to your benefit. So my suggestion to everybody that gets pulled over, be very polite, be very courteous.
Okay. Say somebody has had one glass of beer or wine and maybe smoked a little pot, and you pull them over. Can you tell? I mean, I had a girlfriend who said, hey, if I have a couple glasses of wine at dinner, I will just eat a bunch of garlic and the policeman can never smell it. I mean, what are some of the tricks? I'm trying to get it a little lighter here at the end. What are some of the tricks that, like, can you be tricked? Or what are the signs that you see that people try to do to cover up something they've been doing that is wrong?
Well, I mean, again, I want to say from the start that drinking and driving is totally wrong. I mean, it's what can I say? Let me put it in different ways. It's totally wrong. You don't want to drink and drive and get an act and kill somebody. But if I pull somebody over and I know they've been drinking, you could tell, you know, their slurred voices, their eyes are blood red. The way they walk, they can't walk straight. I mean, we could tell
what about their pupils?
Based on the pupils, and they're dilated, or you could tell that they have alcohol in their breath. I mean, again, my thing is don't drink and drive. If you're gonna drive, get it. They have Uber. Right. You have all that. Use that. We never had that when we were young. We didn't have that. You have a lot of things that a lot of the young kids could use, and they are using it. They are using a lot of Uber and they Lyft, and which is, I'm very proud of that. But the thing
okay,
is that
they
you're
do that if they're underage. Can you stick your kid in an Uber or a Lyft if they're 13 or 15?
Yes, you could. You can. And which is a lot of people do that. A lot of kids go to school. What were they before the coronavirus? But a lot of kids were going to school using Uber or Lyft. You can. I mean, it's not against the law. You could use them.
Good.
Use Uber and Lyft.
Because I was sending, yeah. I was sending the babysitter home in the Uber or Lyft, not Priscilla, my daughter, but I was sending the babysitter when I would relieve the babysitter. I would, and there, of course, I would ask the parents, and they were fine with it. But thank you for telling me it's not against the law, because, you know, we don't know all the time, and but we're doing it anyway. And so now we know, hey, it's not against the law to send your kid or your babysitter home with the Uber, so that's good to know. It's very
it's
good
not against
to know.
The law. It's not against the law to use Uber or Lyft when you're drinking and you want to park your car and use it. We
and hey,
encourage it.
People.
Please do that. Yes.
Citizens. Take it from me, okay? My daughter's father was killed by a drunk driver. Take it from me. It's changed our lives immensely. She doesn't have a father, a real father, for her whole life. You know, even though I did get married for a few years, you know, she doesn't have a dad, okay? So please, don't drink and drive, people. Gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's so good. I think that I've really covered it all. All my questions have been answered, and thank you so much, Tim. But I want to ask Johnny. Johnny, you've been so quiet. Do you have any questions?
No. He answered my questions. It was about the you know, the like sitting right in front of the school, that place. That was he answered that.
Okay, but I've heard that story many times, and I wanted you to elaborate. What happened was Johnny went to college. He was sitting there, and some girl walked by and thought he looked suspicious, so she called the police.
Oh, no, that's
and
a different
Johnny...
story. That's a different story.
Oh,
okay. But what happened was that I was coming home from the gym, and I'll tell you what I had in my I had some milk. I had some a disk drive for my homework, because that's what you're using then. And I think I had like a sandwich. And I walk up to my dorm room, and then all of a sudden, I'm surrounded by five police cars. Okay, I'm not driving. I'm walking, and they start asking me, you know, oh, what's your name? What's your social security number? You know, put the bag on the car and everything. And it seems kind of strange that five police cars would be necessary to stop one person. The only thing I can theorize that I can say that I'm a theory is what happened, if that's the right word, is that I have cerebral palsy and they thought I was drunk. That's what they think happened. Now, I mean, obviously I don't drink because it would interfere with my medicine. So, you know, you're not going to find me with a beer or with anything like that. Maybe some lollipops, but not a beer. And I guess the whole point I'm trying to get at here is, what do you think happened that day? I mean, why would five police cars stop one guy?
Oh, is Jonathan that you... It was a call that was generated. Maybe you were, I don't know the specifics, but maybe were you drinking? I don't know, but there was probably a call that was generated. Maybe a citizen saw you being suspicious in some way. So when a citizen calls in our dispatch, they state, hey, there's a suspicious man walking. Maybe he's checking cars, maybe looking through windows or whatever. We get the call. We don't know what we have. So what the officer is, and again, the officer wants backup. We don't know if you are legit, if you're on drugs, if you're armed. We go into a call, radio call, not knowing nothing. So when an officer and police officers respond, they have five. Hey, that's great, because the more officers, the more safer we are. So whenever you see five officers go to a scene, it's not because we want to go and just. We want to just arrest you and we don't care. We just want to go harass. No, we go in there because we want to be safe. We want to go home to our families. There's what they call it. There's safety with numbers. I mean, we want to go five, go five. We want to go six. We want to go home to our families that night. And that's why you had it. So we didn't know what to expect when we stopped you.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the five cop car thing. It seems like, why is it always five? But it is. Yeah, I like
why
it.
Not?
Hey, Johnny, you were more protected. And all you had to do, which you probably did, was explain yourself to the officer, and everything was fine. Am I correct?
Yes. Actually,
Johnny.
Another theory that's often been thrown at me is they were looking for somebody that matched my description for a crime or something.
Yeah. No, yeah. It was a call that was generated. It was a call that was a citizen called on you. Maybe you fit the description of a person that had committed a crime prior to you walking. I mean, there's a lot of factors that are into why they stopped you. And the officers are just trying to prevent a crime. It's always prevention, prevention, prevention. That's what they teach us.
Prevention. Okay, good. Okay, can I tell you about something really odd that happened when I was driving down Beach Boulevard down here in Huntington Beach? Okay. I was just driving along, I think it was like midnight, and all of a sudden I saw from coming the opposite way in traffic, all of these policemen were like pouncing and pulling over different cars. And then the direction I was going, in front of me and in back of me, rear view mirror, they were doing the same thing, like pouncing. Wow, it was crazy. And I swear it was about 15 all at once cars being pulled over. Is there something out there where you're on the radio where you're like, do it now, go, and everybody's just like, boom? What was that about, do you think?
Okay, what do you mean? That there was a long line? You're talking about like a long line
No, not a long line.
Over.
Just going in traffic, Beach Boulevard, which is like the boulevard down here in Huntington Beach, and I was going one direction, and I saw in the opposite direction many different cop cars pulling over many different cars,
okay,
both directions, like at once,
okay,
all at once. It was a weird, I thought, was weird. That was so strange. And I'm like, hey, I have done nothing wrong. Pull me over. I mean, I might get pulled over because it was one after the other, after the other, after the other. And I thought, I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, no, what it is, what they're doing is that, see, it's a task force where you have maybe your DUI. Maybe they're trying to pull over people that they believe that were drinking and driving. Maybe you have people that were – the Beach Boulevard is a huge street, so they probably have issues that the community told the officers that, hey, we have issues here on this street that we need you guys to look at. So what the officers of the police department probably did is they created a task force where they actually went and they actually stopped people that had those issues or violations. So basically, they're probably people that were or anything. Yeah, it's that everywhere. So if like you have a problem in your street or Jonathan has a problem in a certain area, you call your department and you ask them if they could do extra patrol or do something where they could stop the traffic from occurring, from reoccurring. Yes.
That's so interesting. So now I know. Now I know it's called a task force. And because that Beach Boulevard, it's rampant probably with drunk drivers. It was probably Friday. It was midnight. You know, it was time to, you know, get those drunk drivers off the street. And so I just wanted to run that one by you because I thought that was so strange. And I am actually, as a citizen, doing nothing wrong, but I'm going to avoid that area because if there's that much traffic and I see that the police force is so much there, I don't want to get caught in some crossfire. I don't want to be around that. So, but I did notice that, okay? And so that was a crackdown on drunk drivers. So I think that's good. I actually think that's good.
It's fabulous when you have that. I mean, the officers are very to preventing those type of crimes and all that. And I know the task force, they're very good officers that they want to just prevent. They want to prevent other, like, DUI drivers from drinking and causing and traffic collisions. I mean, their whole point is to make sure that to prevent the crime. That's what it is.
Okay. And I have one last question. What is the biggest drug that you're arresting people for right now?
It's a lot of the homeless community that we're having a lot of problems with meth. Meth has always been bad. And what meth is, meth.
Oh.
Yeah, if you take meth, it's very violent. And that's the ones I don't like. So there's always different type of drugs that people come in with and that cause them. So there's always something new. But meth has always been around. Meth has been around. And when you take meth and if it mixed with alcohol, it's always bad. Meth has always been people could purchase for a really cheap price and they use it and they take it and it's just the way they act and include alcohol on it, it's terrible. So we're always having meth problems. Where there's always meth in LA is really bad with the homeless.
Wow. And don't even try it, everybody who's listening. I mean, you could be the person who likes it and you can't live without it or hate it, but you don't know that. So just why even try it? Don't try it, okay? And
yeah.
I also wanted to say, hey, why? I mean, do you think of this thing, this reasoning is so ridiculous? Pot, marijuana, it seems like it mellows people out. And I'm glad that it's legal so in so many places for people who need it. But alcohol seems to be the worst than marijuana to make people go out of their minds and crazy. Do you feel like that too?
Yeah, you know, again, yes, I agree with it. I agree with it. Yeah, I mean, I drink alcohol. Times that I I react crazy. I mean, it's just alcohol is another drug. It's another drug. Marijuana, I mean, yes, it's legal, but don't smoke and drink. Don't use marijuana and drive. I mean, don't use marijuana and drive. It's still DUI. That's still a DUI.
Yes. Wow.
So what I'm saying is that, yeah, use it. Use it at your home. Use it where no one's involved, like drinking. Do it drinking. Drink. But don't drink and drive. Don't drink. Don't hurt other people. I mean, if you're gonna drink, I mean, and again, I'm one of the violators on that one. I mean, I could drink and it just it's a drug. It is still a drug.
But you're a big guy.
I'm still human. I'm still human and all that, but we don't
do
drugs.
It affects you. No, you don't do drugs. Are you drug tested on the force? And if so, how often? And do you know when? No, probably not.
I get drug tested. I do personally. I get 2 to 3 times. I actually drive buses for them as well. So they 2-3 years. I mean, every 3 times a year, they always drug test.
Oh, that's not very often though.
Yeah, but random. Those tell you when
it's random. You never know. And I like that when you said that you had a little infraction when you were very young, 12 or 13 years old. And I would like to stress upon people who are listening that it doesn't matter. You got in a little trouble when you're young. It doesn't matter. You can still join the force. Look at Tim. And they need you. You guys are hiring, correct?
Yeah, we're hiring, and yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, you have people that were raised in like South End or East End, somewhere where it's different. Yeah, you could if you have problems. You have when you're younger and you had issues. The police call the police differently. But when you get older and you want a career and you. You can see it from the police point of view. Yes, we love
kind
of those type of citizens because it's common sense. We understand how people are on both sides. I mean, it's all common sense. And citizens in East LA, citizens in South LA, make very good, very good. And we promote.
And that's another example of how you all really are human. My brother was an MP military police in the Marines, and his dream was to be a police officer. And he just said, well, I can't do it now. I can't go for my dream because I've gotten a drunk driving charge. Well, he was very young. And I said, hey, I've got connections. I really do. Before I even knew you, I had police connections and police chief connections. And he still didn't believe in himself enough to, because he was embarrassed. I mean, that is embarrassing. Oh, I want to be a policeman, but I have a drunk driving charge. He wouldn't even go further. But no, they will work with you. They will look at that. And they may just say, hey, you were young, you know, right from wrong. You've learned from it. And they would still accept you. Is this true?
Again, they're very picky. They're very picky. they're very picky with the departments. Departments, the LAPD, they're very picky. If they don't like something, it's kind of hard. It's very hard to get in. You have to be straight. I mean, like, I can't – I say apply. Apply, like you said, Barbara, to them. Tell them that you want to be an officer. Tell them what you did wrong. And, again, say you're young. I was young. I made mistakes when I was young, but I learned from the mistakes. What they want to see with the department, with LAPD or other departments, they want to see that you learn from your mistakes. Grow.
And honestly, say, like, right? Because they will find out.
Honestly. They will find out. They will find out from a neighbor, a friend, an ex-girlfriend. They will interview ex-girlfriends. They go deep.
Oh.
And
they do go deep. Wow.
When I was applying for the job, they interviewed my ex-girlfriends. I never even knew they interviewed. They interviewed neighbors that I didn't even meet. There was neighbors that I didn't even know they were my neighbors, and they interviewed people. So they want, again, they really do very strict backgrounds, but there's always a few bad apples. It's like a doctor, a lawyer. So it's kind of hard for LAPD to filter all the good, because there's going to be one apple that just goes in. That's just the way it is.
Okay. Yeah, we're human beings, and people are forgetting that. And I just want to do a shout out. Would you like anybody to be able to contact you, Tim? We could shout out your Facebook. And if not, that's totally fine, too.
No, I mean, they could always contact an officer. I mean, are very, very heavy. They have very good hearts. They have so hearts, and I, you know, you could contact any officer. Or, I mean, LAPD is very good. I mean, that's one thing, is that if you contact LAPD, they will be very friendly to you. That's one thing the department has, is that they always are here for me. They've always been here.
Okay, that's wonderful, and I'm so glad that you're having a wonderful experience with your inside the LAPD, as far as morale, you know, having each other's back still after everything that's going on, because you never know, is somebody inside the force a Black Lives Matter person? Are they going to flip out? No. I mean, I feel like talking to you today, I feel better about the morale and the police force as a whole, as being good men and women who want to protect us. That's what I'm getting. What about you, Johnny?
I do feel it too, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm all for funding the police, and I've learned a lot today. And thank you so much, Tim, for coming on. I always say one last question. I always have another question, and I have so many more questions. So if you keep coming back, we would love it.
No, anytime you guys want me on there. And again, officers are just humans. We have families. I mean, I have a beautiful daughter, son, my mother. My family is very supportive. My friends, my close friends have always been there for me. They've always been my close friends. And my beautiful girlfriend, she's always been there. She's there for me now. And
we'd love to have her on sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I would like to know her perspective of how it is to – you know, be the girlfriend of a police officer, and, you know, what she goes through every day. That would be great if you could ask her to come on next time, even just for 5 minutes.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, just, I really appreciate the family and friends. I really
thanks.
I really appreciate them.
You want to do the shout-out?
And we appreciate you. Wait, yes, I am doing the shout-out, Johnny, but I have one last question. As a single woman, what should I carry in my glove compartment? Mace, a taser, or a pocket knife? What should I carry? I have a Swiss Army knife with all different kinds of blades. I think last time you told me that's okay. Is it okay? I don't want to get in trouble.
Well, you know, Barbara, honestly, for a single woman, I think they should, you know what you can have? It's noise. Have that one of those little blow, one they have at the basketball games where you could press and they go, ah, that scares anybody.
Oh.
I don't care. That's the best thing. I think I've always taught my kids, I always taught my family, I always taught my friends, it's always noise that scares somebody off. If you want to go
even
make
a little simple whistle.
Yeah, but you know that little, it's called the blow horn. It's called that little horn at games that they have. It's a small little thing carried in your purse. Use that. So if someone's if you feel threatened by anybody, and you just touch that little knob where you just press a little button, it gives a noise. It scares anybody off. It's gonna hurt their
ears. Have it in your hand as you're going to your car getting in.
You could have like a little chain to your purse. Use that. I mean, I always give my daughter my.
What about mace?
I love mace.
You give your daughter.
I give my daughter mace. And my daughter has mace, and I like that. I like, but the horn is always good. The loudness, it just hurts somebody's ear, and they're scared and they run off. I mean, I think
it
if you're gonna have something that,
it takes them off guard. Anything like that will take them off guard. Okay, and that's what you want. You don't want to have to go into your self defense mode. But I was thinking of doing that with my daughter, and you know, never get hurt because you won't freeze. Maybe you'll fight instead. I know I would fight. I just know myself. But what about your kids? Take them to self-defense. If nothing else, you're going to get a good workout. So thank you, Tim, so much for coming on. I mean, this has been so enlightening, and I learned really a lot. And I appreciate the fact that you would come on again.
Okay. Time, and it's good to inform the public, and it's good to inform citizens of the community and to see the two sides, to see the two sides of an officer who's been 23 years and the community, what they see. I mean, it's very good that I could come out and your show and state what I feel.
Awesome. We're glad that you like doing it. 23 years, LAPD, Tim Reese. R-U-I-Z, which I used to call you Ruiz, but that's Tim, and he is our life, laughter, happiness policeman. How fortunate are we, and thank you so much. You can hear this show and listen to it again and again, learn a lot, and follow it, everybody. Find us on YouTube, Life, Laughter, Happiness. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We will have this link to this show. So thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Thanks again,
Tim, do you have Roku?
And Johnny.
I'm sorry?
Do you have Roku?
No, I don't. I don't. I don't have Roku.
Well, we have a TV channel now, Tim. And that's what Johnny's getting at. We have a TV channel on Roku now.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow. Okay, let me check it out. I would
definitely
check
growing. Thank you. We're growing.
But thank you, guys.
When we do
thank
our shows, we
thank
do our shows on Roku, you can actually see us. And we hope that you would come back and do that with your girlfriend. We could see you. And you know me, I'm always going to ask you to wear your uniform. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
A man in a uniform, totally very a powerful thing. So, yeah, I would love that.
Okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
It's all good. And
so
we thank you. And
thank you.
We are praying for you that everything is safe for you. We are anticipating riots after the election. And we are praying for you. for your safety and everybody's safety in the LA area. Thank you so much. All right.
Thank
okay, everybody,
night,
have a great night. Thanks, Johnny.